This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today's episode is a little different. And honestly, I think it's one of the most interesting and important ones I've recorded so far. Usually we talk about the tactical side of points and miles, what cards to get, what redemptions to look for, how to travel better for less. But today, I'm pulling back the curtain on something much bigger. The mindset behind it all. Because here's the truth, winning at points isn't just about earning more bonuses or finding the best deals. It's about mastering your behavior, your patience, your discipline, your identity. And if you can master that, you don't just travel smarter, you start living smarter. So in this solo episode, I'm blending my experience as a financial advisor with the world of points and miles, inspired by the lessons in one of my favorite books of all time. We'll talk about what points and miles really teach us about success, freedom, and long-term thinking, and why the biggest wins in this game have nothing to do with a credit card bonus and everything to do with how you think. So if you're ready to go beyond the surface and see points and miles in a whole new way, let's get into the show.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch, and today we are going to do something a little different with the show, but I think you're going to find immense value because what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine the worlds of financial advising with points and miles in a way that I don't think has been done before. And trust me, I am not going to turn this into a financial planning podcast. For those new to the show, I am a financial advisor. I own Truicity Wealth Management. The link to that is in the show notes for every episode. I've had the practice for about 15 years now, have a nationwide practice, work with clients all over the country. Now, as I have the opportunity to work with clients, as I've had the opportunity to speak at conferences, I've gone and spoke with real estate firms, with engineering firms, medical practices, with their doctors, with their employees, with their real estate agents on financial planning and such. The question that I get often asked are, what types of books should I be reading? Or what's your favorite books around finance and such? And for those of you that are here for points and miles, trust me, stay with me for this episode. So when I get asked that, there's a list of books that I love, but there is one that is absolutely my favorite. And it's not a book that's about how to be the best investor, how to save the most for retirement or anything like that. It's this book right here, which if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it, which is The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. This is one of my favorite books of all time, especially when it comes to finance. And the reason why is because it's less about, hey, this is how you need to manage your money, and more about human behavior, human psychology. As a financial advisor, while we're very good at understanding money, investments, planning, taxation, all sorts of things, I work really hard to be excellent at understanding human behavior and behavioral finance, because that's really how we're able to connect with the clients that we serve. Why do I say all that? Well, I think there's a psychology behind points usage as well that ties directly into the psychology of money. And that today is the gap that I want to bridge for all of you. So the reason why this episode is the psychology of points is not just about understanding is points and miles a good thing to do. It's much larger than that. It's understanding how some of the same things that affect us in our personal lives and how we manage money and approach money on a human level is the same thing that can affect you in the points world. So again, this is not going to be a financial planning podcast, nor is it going to be a psychology and growth mindset podcast either. We're still focused on points for this episode, but we're going to take it to a little bit of a different and deeper level. And I really think many of you will take value in this. And I would love to hear some feedback after this episode, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's Instagram DMs or comments or emails or in the Facebook group, what you thought of this episode, because I know this is going to be a little bit different, but let's get into it. So the first thing to talk about is the word enough. In Morgan's book, he talks about enough, and he specifically references a name that you're going to be familiar with hearing, Bernie Madoff. And I'm not going to go down the weeds into it or say as eloquently as Morgan does in his book, but most people don't know that Bernie Madoff was extremely wealthy before he ever started being part of his Ponzi scheme. And like legitimately wealthy. He was one of the smartest investment people in the world before he decided he didn't have enough and became greedy. Well, where does that fit in with the points world? Well, in your points life, earning your first free flight or close to free flight feels amazing. After the 10th, it's a little bit less so. You know, when you get that lie flat seed and you found that perfect redemption, you can't wait to tell everybody, right? You did. You've been listening to the podcast. You've been following blogs. You've been studying the points game and you got that redemption that you're excited about. But after you've done it 10 times, you're not on top of the world as much. You want a better seat, a bigger seat, a fancier champagne, a bigger suite. This is something that in behavioral finance we call hedonic adaption. No matter how good something feels the first time, you adapt. It becomes a new normal. And if you're not careful, you end up in this endless chase for more and more and more without ever stopping to define, well, what's actually enough for you? Now, I'm not saying that enough is that you should stop at a certain level of having points. That's not what I'm saying. But people often chase more and more and more without stopping to define, well, what are they actually going after? Whether it's more points, more business class flights. So while there's nothing wrong with obviously accruing more points, which I'm doing on a daily basis, but I would set some intentional goals. Maybe it's, I want to take 3 international trips per year in business class versus I need millions of points. In points life, defining your own version of enough is key. And enough, again, doesn't mean you stop growing, doesn't mean you stop building the points. It just means that you decide, what are you building your points for? What's that dream trip that you want to take with yourself or for your family? What is it that you're aiming and you're working this hard and you're listening to this podcast and consuming content for? Figuring out the connection there is key. Because if you don't consciously set that definition, you'll always be chasing and never arriving. One of the next tie-ins is the word optionality. And I love using this word when working with clients. And it's that optionality is power. Having points is like having cash equivalents for travel. It's options, not obligations. One of the best feelings in the world is having points available when you need them, right? You don't have to book a flight tomorrow, but knowing that you have the points to go to Paris this weekend if you wanted to, that's power. So in finance, having options or optionality, having choices, is often more value than locking into a very rigid path. And that's the same thing with points and miles. Points are like financial freedom, but in travel form. It's not just about the redemption. It's about the security, the flexibility, the ability to pivot your life quickly without financial stress. So you may love your Chase points, for example, and be super focused and say, you know what? I love Chase because of Hyatt. I'm going to focus mostly on Chase. But remember, there are luxury properties and great properties of many other brands as well. And I'm not even talking the Hiltons and the Marriotts. I'm talking about the brands that are a little bit more overlooked in the points world, like IHG, Choice Hotels, or their luxury line Privilege Hotels. So focus on flexibility and optionality, not just having rigid plans. And this especially goes to when it comes to your ability to travel. Now, I understand for some people, especially if you're trying to target a spring break, Christmas vacation, certain things like that, you're going to have very rigid dates that you need to travel. But for a lot of individuals, you don't have a set 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it may be that you have to take for vacation. You typically just need to request the time off. And so with that, when you think of flexibility, having the opportunity to say, you know what, I want to travel to wherever it's best to travel to in August or September or wherever it may be. And deciding from there, A, where do you want to go? And B, once you figure that out, what dates are the points the cheapest to get there? And if you remember in the episode with Julia from GeoBreeze that we had a couple months ago, she says that because of her husband's work schedule, once he knows that he has time off in a certain month, she goes ahead and says, well, what's the best countries to travel to in this month? And from there, she narrows it down to, well, these are the best. These are places we haven't been. So what are the best ones to travel to from a point standpoint? And what's the points availability for these different destinations? So having some flexibility with your travels is key, especially in the points world. And I think for a lot of people that come into the points game, they're so used to the opposite. They're so used to saying, okay, I want to travel on these dates. I need to specifically leave on this date, specifically arrive on this date. And so I have to find my travel. And of course, it's going to be easier to do that in cash and then get frustrated when they try to do that with points. And that's understandable. But in the points world, it's a lot easier and better if you can say, hey, this is the date range around when I want to leave and when I want to come back. And now instead of finding a business class flight for 300,000 points, you might find that there's a specific flight on one of those days that's 70,000 points per person. And that's how flexibility can be huge. So in Morgan's book, again, The Psychology of Money, he tells of two stories. The first is of Richard, a former Merrill Lynch executive, very wealthy, owned a mansion, hosted lavish parties. He overleveraged himself financially, especially during the 2008 crisis. He declared personal bankruptcy despite having a career and a level of wealth and success and income that most people would envy. And his downfall came from excessive risk-taking, overconfidence, and inflating his lifestyle way too much. But compare that with Richard. Richard is a janitor and a gas station attendant in Vermont. He lived extremely frugally his whole life. Simple car, simple house, no flashy lifestyle. When he died in 2014, it was revealed he had amassed over $8 million, almost entirely through diligent saving, investing consistently, and letting compound interest quietly work for decades. No big wins, no lottery ticket moment. His success was purely the power of patience, consistency, and compounding. Why do I bring this up? Well, the key point that Morgan makes is that being smart, educated, or rich doesn't automatically make you financially successful. Behaviors matter more than intelligence. Time, patience, humility, and consistent small wins beats aggressive, risky strategies over the long term. So wealth is what you don't see, like Reed's quiet accumulation, not Richard's showy lifestyle. So why did I bring this up? Well, in the points and miles world, it's very similar. People who quietly stack small wins using the shopping portals, finding those categories that get you 5x, smart transfers of points, they quietly accumulate massive travel wealth over time, just like Ronald Reed did financially. And those who just chase flashy redemptions without strategy, they often burn out, get frustrated, or go bankrupt in points, just like Richard did with his money. So that's why it's not all about just chasing the huge sign-up bonus. While we absolutely get wins through those, it's the regular use of the shopping portals, the bonus categories, the loyalty programs, quietly stacking in massive value over time. Over time, that's going to help create consistency for you outside of just having to always chase and churn sign-up bonuses. It's the same as investing. It's not about timing the market, it's time in the market. Same thing with points. It's the unsexy habits. The little optimizations are where the real magic happens. So master boring consistency. Don't just chase after the large sign-up bonuses. And I want to be very clear. I know that I'm one, especially through our quick hits and in our Facebook group and newsletter, to talk through big plays, top sign-up bonuses, huge welcome offers. Absolutely, because these are things, especially for those that are newer in the points and miles world, that can really unlock a lot of points quickly. But you really want to develop the habits that are needed to be in this long term. And that's understanding how to put the right expenses on the right cards that generate the right points that you can build up over time. Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Another point of Morgan's is on delayed gratification. For example, you could get some points and impulsively redeem them for economy flights. Or maybe you can wait a little bit and experience that $20,000 first class suite for nearly free. Behavioral economics calls this present bias, or tendency to overvalue immediate rewards at the expense of bigger future ones. But if you can build the muscle of delayed gratification in points, you can also do it in your life too. You're training yourself to think longer term, to plan more strategically, and reap rewards most people never experience. Now, understand this 100%. First class business travel isn't for everyone. And what I mean by that is you have a family of four or five and you want to make your points go the distance. For a lot of families, while the aspirational trip may be the business class, economy suits them well, and they're saying, hey, we're still taking an amazing family trip to Europe. We may be in economy, but we still paid next to nothing for our flights. That's still a win too. So I want to be very, very clear here. I'm not saying that you should only wait to splurge for the big experiences, but going back to behaviors, it's about once the points start rolling in, making sure that we realize, hey, we don't have to go for the first shiny thing that we see. We start hearing of a transfer bonus, Chase to Virgin, Amex to British Airways, whatever it may be. Take your time, be patient, and make sure that the moves that you're making are the ones that are going to benefit you the most. Just like there's diversification with money, you got to diversify with points. If all of your points and miles are with one airline and they completely gut their award chart tomorrow, you're stuck. If you've been following this podcast for a while, you know that devaluations happen all the time. But you see, smart points users spread their risk. They spread their points. They diversify their points. You build with Chase. You build with Amex. You build with Capital One. You build with Citi. You build with some airline or hotel specific points. You don't speculatively transfer your points just because you hear of a good transfer bonus. Just like a good portfolio, a good point strategy protects you from the shocks and the changes that you can't control and gives you, going back to that optionality, the flexibility that you need to make better decisions with your points. So just like you shouldn't have all your money in one basket, you should diversify. And that diversification is from a tax standpoint, from an account standpoint, from an investment strategy standpoint. You don't want to put all your travel dreams in one basket as well, because that can very quickly change. One of the amazing things that Morgan talks about in his book is that most people self-sabotage without realizing it. And in the points world, it can be similar. At the end of the day, most points aren't lost from airlines changing their rules. They're from ourselves. They're from chasing cards that you really don't need. They're from spending just to hit bonuses that don't actually align with your travel goals. And I've seen where people can get in trouble. When we talk about fiscal and financial responsibility on the show, I've had conversations with individuals that said, I know I need to get points. I want to get points. And because they were chasing the points, they didn't reflect what that was doing with their spending habits and causing them to create debt that they're working to get out of so that they can get back into the points game. And that's why it's always important to make sure that we're not self-sabotaging. We're understanding what are we chasing after and the why. And that goes back to the enough part as well. There's an elevated sign-up bonus going on. Do we need to go after that? Do we need to ratchet up our spend so we can hit the Amex 20K business platinum spend or Capital One VentureX business 30K? These are the things that you want to consider. And those things that I mentioned, such as chasing cards you don't need, spending to hit bonuses that don't align with your goals, hoarding points, and never redeeming them out of fear that you might get a slightly better deal. That's the third one. These are all pure behavioral biases in action. We call them loss aversion, overconfidence, and the sunk cost fallacy. The real challenge isn't beating the points program. It's also beating our own impulses. Winning at points, just like winning with money, is about managing behavior, not just understanding some secret system. If you can stay rational when everyone else is chasing the shiny objects, you don't just win more free trips. You build the kind of discipline that pays off everywhere else too. Remember, discipline always wins. And the last point that I want to get to is one that I find pretty interesting, because it's that identity shapes behavior. When you see yourself as a savvy traveler and point strategist, you act differently. And what do I mean by that? Well, in financial behavior, someone who sees themselves as an investor will naturally save, invest, and avoid panic selling when the market's going crazy without needing massive willpower. But someone who sees themselves as bad with money will find a way to sabotage financial success, even if they intellectually know what to do. So in points and miles, if you see yourself as a smart traveler, a point strategist, or someone who maximizes value, you'll naturally make better choices, smarter card usage, more patience for big redemptions, and smarter program diversification. I know a lot of you who listen to this show are new, and you're trying to consume everything you can before you make that first redemption. Remember, you don't have to make everything perfect. Every redemption isn't going to be perfect, amazing, a 10-cent play. But get the first one and move on and build from there. But see yourself as a savvy travel points and miles user. One that's still learning, one that's still growing, but one who knows, hey, I'm going to be good at this. Because when you say, I don't really know too much, I can't figure this out, that's when you start to make mistakes, when that's how you identify yourself. So success in points, just like success with money, is less about perfect tactics and more about building a self-image that drives consistent good behavior naturally. Identity creates habits automatically. And that's why mastering your identity, not just your strategy, is the ultimate cheat code. So to wrap this one up, if you really zoom out, points and miles aren't just about free nights. They're about understanding yourself, your patience, your discipline, your impulses, your strategy. They're a low risk, high reward way to practice the behaviors that over time shape a successful life, not just a successful vacation. Just like building wealth, mastering points isn't about being the smartest person in the room. It's about being the most consistent, the most patient, the most strategic. Anyone can chase shiny objects, but it takes real strength to build quietly, patiently, intentionally, and then you move when the opportunity strikes. In that way, learning how to save, earn, and redeem points is one of the best training grounds for mastering the bigger things. Financial freedom, career pivots, even building the life that you want when the rest of the world is running on autopilot. So if you take just one thing away from today, it's this. Mastering points and miles is just practice. Practice for mastering yourself. And once you get that part right, everything else gets a whole lot easier. So let me know what you thought about bridging the psychology of money with the psychology of points in this episode. I would love to hear your feedback. As always, I want you guys to travel smart and to live smarter. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.